WNST, Towson, Baltimore. And Baltimore Positive, we are positively into the short week, into the little bit of rest. And I'll tell you what, man, this whole mask thing out in Vegas, it forced me into some tacos I might not have eaten and off the strip a little bit, in, out, business trip, and all the pain that goes along with 0-1. Here come the Kansas City Chiefs. We will be gathered at the Purple Palace over my shoulder on Sunday night. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, they're all coming in. Patrick Mahomes, as they would say in East Baltimore. Adam Teicher covers all things Chiefs out in Kansas City. And I always love when this game's at your place because I get barbecue. I get to come out. I get to meet friendly people, or people are at least pretending to be friendly. I may wind up in Omaha next week at an Eagles concert. It's a long story. But I like you Midwestern folks, Adam. But I don't like it when you're beating our football team. And at this point, this is a tough hill for the Ravens right now with these injuries. Yeah. This is as weird a beginning of the season. And it feels like the steamroller's coming to town on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have a lot going for them. I'll say that. I mean, there's no way around that. I mean, they're a good team. They got a lot going for them. But having said that, the Browns kind of controlled that game for certainly all of the first half. Probably should have been leading by more than 12 points at halftime. And into the third quarter, they really controlled the game. They had a really bad turnover that really cost them in the third quarter. The Chiefs went on a long drive to start the second half. The Browns were driving to answer and fumbled. And then the Chiefs went on another long drive for another score. So I feel like that fumble was the play that really turned the game, that really allowed the Chiefs back into it. So there were some other plays that certainly had an effect. But I feel like without that fumble, the Browns would have gone ahead and won the game and maybe going away. They would maybe controlled it very easily.
I had my pal Daryl Rader on from Cleveland because I was trying to get a little bit of a preview of what to expect and whatnot. We don't play the Browns until like December in this wacky schedule, which is kind of good or bad, depending on how, the war of attrition goes. Certainly around here, it was a body bag training camp, and all the best laid plans of Derek DaCosta, all the answers they had to their problems last year and solving them through the draft, solving them through having players like Justin Houston willing to play for nothing, literally, So all of that kind of goes away when you lose three running backs in a week. Marcus Peters goes down. The line was a sieve on Monday night in reality. We didn't really have a preseason to look at them. And now you look at them and say, well, they're Lamar. But what else are they? And, very worrisome to see the Browns look as good as they looked the other day.
Yeah, I think that's a really good team. I think the Browns have a lot going for them. I feel like, at least I thought this before the season, the Chiefs, the Browns, and the Bills, in whatever order, were the three best teams in the AFC. Certainly nothing I saw from the Browns the other day would shake my confidence in that pick. I don't know about the Bills. I saw very little of that game, but I do feel like the Browns are one of the three best teams in the AFC, maybe the best. So I feel like when all is said and done, they'll end up winning the division.
Kansas City Chiefs, an offseason where Orlando Brown is on your side of the fence here this time, and it sounds like the offensive line wasn't the strength of the operation over the weekend. Tell Ravens fans what they're going to see from the Chiefs, and give us a little dose of how an offseason and COVID operates around there, where not winning a championship is deeply disappointing these days in Kansas City. The bar has been raised, Adam Teicher.
Yeah, it has. And, I do think the winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago bought the Chiefs a little bit of goodwill in the community. I think everybody understands it's not going to happen every year. And as long as the Chiefs are in the running and they've been to three straight AFC championship games, they're going to get, now that they've won one, they're going to get some of the measure of goodwill. That Super Bowl victory is going to go a long way. Let me put it that way.
Well, I had a theory, and it's my 30th year on the radio. So I was here in 01 when they won, and I had the station at the time, and I told all the hosts, anybody calls you and says the Ravens need to win every year and the Dilfer, Gerback, all that was going on, I'm like, you're good for 5 years if you bring a championship. But that's not really true, because when you're Mahomes now, if you feel like you're in the window, and what Brady's done and what these exceptional Michael Jordan kind of things, Mahomes kind of has that on his back right now, right? Like, he's not chasing two or three rings in his career at this point. And I know that that's crazy that we put those kind of expectations. But when you're this good this early, you know, there's a different expectation on that kid.
Yeah, that's where I was going with my answer. I mean, there's an awareness in the building, in Arrowhead Stadium, and in the city itself amongst the fans that if we're here in 12 or 15 years or whatever it is, that we're looking back on the Patrick Mahomes era, and the Chiefs just have one Super Bowl victory or two Super Bowl victories, there's going to be a lot of people looking back on this time as a huge disappointment. I mean, who knows what the Chiefs going to look like next year or down the line. But as things are now, and as things were last year, as things were 2 years ago, certainly they were good enough to win a Super Bowl. They're good enough to win a Super Bowl this year. So I think a lot of people are going to be going to look back at this and say, boy, the Chiefs wasted a really good thing. If they don't win some more, doesn't have to be this year or next year, but down the line, they need to start collecting these things, you know, maybe be the Patriots of a few years ago where every 2 or 3 years they get one, because that's certainly the expectation and the feeling that it's going to be a waste if they don't. And having said that, I'll also say this. I think things are going to be more difficult for the Chiefs than they were for the Patriots. I think the AFC is really amassing some good teams, some good young quarterbacks. It's going to be more difficult on the Chiefs than it was for the Patriots. Yeah, during the Patriots' reign, so to speak, in the AFC, you know, the Ravens had some good teams, not consistently, maybe, but they had some really good teams. The Steelers maybe were hot for a while. Other than that, who was good in the AFC? You know, the Broncos, I guess, had that run under Peyton Manning, but there was never a team that was consistently good during the Patriots' reign. And now I think, you know, you're going to see teams like the Browns, the Bills, you know, maybe the Ravens can get there. Maybe the Steelers can be that team. But I think the Chargers are a pretty good team now. I think there's going to be more challengers for the Chiefs than there were for the Patriots.
Adam Teicher covers all things Chiefs in Kansas City, in Missouri, and the Kansas side, depending on which side the president likes, the ex-president. But I haven't been out in a while, and this game came here last year empty, and it clearly was not Lamar's best effort or the Ravens' best. The Ravens have not – they played well against the Chiefs, but they have not matched up. And around here, it feels like – you know, Chiefs red is the Lamar Jackson kryptonite. This is another chance for him to change that narrative. Home crowd, there'll be a real crowd for the first time in a long, long time. That was kind of the weird part, dude. Like, all these years of covering the league, we take the noise for granted, the people, all of the cacophony of noise around Super Bowls and all of that. Then you do a year empty, and then you're sitting in Vegas, and the press box there is in the bowl. Like, you hear the noise.
Oh,
and
nice.
Hearing it, if I turned to your colleague, Jameson Ensley, who's sitting 3 feet away from me, and I said, it's kind of nice. You know, it's kind of like nice to be here, and it's full, and it's, safety. We'll find out whether it's safe or not, but we're all gathering for the Chiefs and all that they've been through this offseason and getting them ready. We're getting a supersonic version of the Chiefs right now, would you say, or no?
Not the way they looked for a lot of the game on Sunday against the Browns. I mean, defensively, they've got some issues. They were pushed around in the running game, had trouble with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I thought Baker Mayfield had a nice game. The Browns really gave them fits with the passing game. The turnovers are what turned that game. The Browns turned it over twice. The fumble I mentioned earlier, there was a really bad interception by Baker Mayfield on Cleveland's last possession that killed it, that ended the game, made a really bad decision to try to force the ball. And there was a deal where in the fourth quarter, the punter dropped the punt, a snap. He did a great snap. He just choked. He just dropped the ball. So, without those plays, I think we're talking about a different result here. So the Chiefs, particularly on defense, have some issues here. They'll be better, I believe, against Baltimore Tyrann Mathieu will be back. He didn't play last week. He's so important to what they have going. But, you know, to me, the key to this game here is make the Ravens one-dimensional. If the Chiefs can play the game on their terms, if they can get a lead and make the Ravens have to throw, I think that really plays into the Chiefs' hands. I mean, it's always a factor. It's always in the team's favor to get a lead and play on your terms. But I think it's even more so in this game.
Well, and it's more so because of the Lamar factor, where if he's 10 points down or 14 points down, how will this offense matriculate the ball down the field in the air consistently enough to put 7 points up without using the running game? And they got away from the run the other night, and that's when things went sideways. Adam, you said something. I had Dennis Colazzo from Coons Ford on earlier. We were talking about the game, and he said something to the effect of, had the Ravens won the game, and the Ravens had a lead with 33 seconds left, you know, they do what they do. They went out, slopped it around enough in Vegas. They bring in the kicker. He kicks the ball a mile. They're up 3 points with 30 seconds left to go. That's a win. You have to win that game, and they don't. And he said, what if they would have won? What would the story be? Would it be Sammy Watkins? Would it be resiliency against injuries and all that? That's the razor thin part of all of this, right? Well, is sure. To say what 0-1 represents with the Chiefs coming in here this week is a whole different flavor of how you feel about expectation for the season based on a player or two. And the Browns are feeling it too. I mean, the Browns aren't real happy at being 0-1.
No, absolutely not. And I think if the Chiefs, you know, that game in Kansas City last week, the Chiefs-Browns game, was very similar. I mean, it could have gone the other way. Very easily could have gone the other way. So then you'd have two maybe desperate teams playing on Sunday night because, you know, 0-2, no matter how you get there, for these two franchises, not acceptable. I mean, they've set the bar way, you know, way above 0-2, and the Ravens certainly have more excuse for being there than the Chiefs would with all the injuries they've had and the schedule they've had. But the Chiefs could have been right there. So that's what you look at in this league. Margin sometimes between win and loss, very slim.
Adam Teicher here from the worldwide leader at ESPN. You can read his work out on the web, getting everyone ready for Sunday Night Football and the best team in football, at least perceived to be. Tom Brady would have some take exception with that, perhaps at this point. For Mahomes and your long view of all of this for the organization, from the minute they took the kid and gave him some time, and Andy believed in him, and Andy's been a little bit of a whisperer from the very, very beginning in Green Bay, and all the years in Philadelphia, and finds this nice cushy home in Kansas City, and is quite frankly delivered on everything that every other Marty Schottenheimer and every other coach before that had 14-2s and had 13-3s and had bye weeks and all of that they actually got it done, right? Like, you've witnessed this glory era, but far, as you pointed out, far from finished at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, you talk about some of those better Marty Schottenheimer teams and Dick Vermeil teams. You look back, those were really half teams. They weren't complete teams like maybe the Chiefs certainly had 2 years ago. I mean, you know, the Marty Schottenheimer teams had great defenses, but they couldn't score points. They lost playoff games by scoring, you know, 7 points. They lost one year, lost 10-7. They lost 14-10. They just couldn't score any points when it mattered against good teams. And the Dick Vermeil teams had the other opposite problem. They were high powered offense, couldn't stop anybody. They lost a game in the playoffs when they scored 31 points because they never made the opponent, Peyton Manning's Colts, punt that day. So, you know, it's no coincidence. You know, Pat Mahomes certainly a big part of that, but the Chiefs finally built a championship quality team around him.
Adam Teicher here. We are talking all things Chiefs and all things Ravens. You watched the game Monday night, right? Like, give some thoughts on the Ravens and what you saw there. It's, again, we're never going to know. We had a year here 20 years ago. I know you remember Jamal Lewis went down. We lost Leon Searcy before he ever got on the field, and he was the big offseason signing. And the whole season, kind of, we were playing with Terry Allen, kind of went down the toilet. 20 years later, the fact that Eric DaCosta signed three running backs I've heard of in 5 hours last week to replace three guys – Then Marcus Peters goes down. I thought they appointed themselves well. I didn't think they played poorly. I think it's unfortunate you lose, but that's what a mistake will be when your quarterback makes a mistake and the tight end you gave $50 million to drops the ball. You're going to lose those kind of tight games. The disappointing part for me with the Ravens was the defense, just the fact that they gave up 327 points in the second half. Unacceptable. And I thought Derek Carr was great.
Yeah, no, Derek Carr was great. And the Raiders, I think, are better maybe than people, some people, a lot of people, including myself, think maybe. But I thought a lot of the Raiders, and I think what happened in that game had more, maybe more to do with how they played than how the Ravens played. I have, you know, I the Ravens were better than they showed better than I thought they would, given everything that had happened recently and even going back a little bit. You know, I think they can win with Tyson Williams playing running back and Latavius Murray. I think they can. You know, I wonder about the back end of that defense holding up. If Jimmy Smith, is he going to play Sunday night? I, you know, if without Peters, without Jimmy Smith, I think that's going to be hard for them. But, you know, playing the way they played, I think they can hold up well. But I just wonder about their ability to consistently maintain. I mean, that offensive line was a little bit worrisome. Particularly Villanueva at right tackle. You know, Lamar Jackson has to be better than that. You know, two turnovers is unacceptable, particularly the way he did it. Looked a little careless to me. So I think it's going to be, particularly in that division, maybe one of football's better divisions. You know, the Steelers certainly and the Browns, you know, the four games against those teams are going to be tough. So, you know, an 0-2 start. I just wonder about the Ravens in their depleted state. If it comes to 0-2, whether they can dig out of that hole.
My friend, it's always nice to spend some time with you. Talk some inside football out there. You got a good team to cover for sure. You know, around here, it thinks we play Detroit and then Denver. You mentioned like the division and how great the Chiefs are. That kid playing for the San Diego Chargers. I'm wearing the Chargers blue here. He looks good. We just saw what the Raiders did, and the Broncos, to your point, they win again. That division looks to be pretty scrappy right now.
Yeah, I think it probably was underrated going into the season. I think what the Denver has built, particularly on defense, is a pretty good thing. I you know, if Bridgewater can kind of be that guy who doesn't make mistakes, doesn't lose games for him, I think the Broncos will be a dangerous team, maybe even a borderline playoff team. I've liked the Chargers for years now. I think that's been the most underachieving team in the league. I know they've had a bunch of injuries, but now they've got the quarterback. I think they can challenge the Chiefs and maybe will challenge the Chiefs for the division. And the Raiders, I thought, showed well last night. I mean, if that's the real Raiders, then this is going to be a very interesting division this year. I wonder whether that's the real Raiders. I mean, we've seen that version of the Raiders the last few years. They gave the Chiefs two really good dogfights last year, beating them once at Arrowhead and kind of went going away. I mean, they were pulling away at the end of the game. But they've had trouble being consistent with that. They'll look good one week and play poorly the next. So I'll believe the Raiders when they start piling these things up, but certainly looked good the other night.
Yeah, impressive start to the season for the entire division in the AFC West. Adam Teicher covers all things AFC West, as well as the Chiefs for the worldwide leader at ESPN, Teicher. You can go find him out on the interweb. Always good to visit with you. And in the weird times of COVID and travel, you coming in or are you not coming in?
No, I'm coming in. I'll be there on Monday night. I always like going to Baltimore. One of my favorite.
I'll tell you
places.
What, man. I'm meeting my lifer friend, John Keller, for a crab cake at Fadley's right around 2 p.m. downtown. So if you want to, you know, bring the Kansas City posse over to have the best crab cake, I mean, I've enjoyed your barbecue. If you're only here for a day, come on over to Lexington Market, have a crab cake at lunchtime. How about that?
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good thing to me.
That's three crab cakes for me this weekend. That's crazy. I got Johnny O at Costas Friday celebrating their 50th anniversary of the crab cake tour. I'm doing Wise Markets. I'm doing the signature crab cake at 11 a.m. on Sunday. And now I've just committed to a Fadley's crab cake. It's going to be crab cake weekend.
Sounds like a winner to me.
All right. Well, bring some Jack Stack along if you can, some cheesy corn.
I'll bring some in my pocket. Maybe they'll let me through security with.
I always know this. If the Ravens are good enough we'll wind up in Kansas City in January because it's going to come through there. So
get your barbecue then.
Hold on to the barbecue. Adam Teicher, ESPN, joining us here. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Full coverage of all things Ravens and Chiefs from Owings Mills with Luke Jones, all presented by our friends at Royal Farms.